And so our passage is 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 21. And this is going to be a series. Series that has to do with the Mosaic Law. And this is the first one of some others that are coming. But this is a foundational one. And the issue that I'm covering in this one is whether we Christians should abide by the old covenant for new covenant life. Now, we should not. Our marching orders for godliness are the life in Christ teachings and God's word given in what we should understand is new covenant apostolic revelation for new covenant orientation in our minds and our hearts. Now, what this means is we must look at the old covenant record through the lens of this new covenant apostolic revelation given to us from God for understanding. We need to be good stewards of this because it's right here. Now, the old law came in when God made it as a covenant for Israel. And he gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai about 3,500 years ago. And about 1,500 years later, Jesus came. And Jesus lived under that old covenant law. And when he was crucified and resurrected according to his plan, he inaugurated the new covenant in his blood. So there is no old covenant as a jurisdictional law force anymore. And many of you have heard me say this before, but I'm really going to get into it today. This is so foundational. Only its recorded words are left as scripture to inform us now in different ways that God has. And all who embrace Jesus by grace through faith are his new covenant people. This is you. And this has been God's church since its beginning. During the church's existence, there have been theological theories they've been developing. Some are good, some are bad. And some of the theories show confusion about God's new covenant revelations to the church concerning the Mosaic Law. Some compel Christians to be under law codes of that old covenant as if those commands are a jurisdiction over their actions. Now, some of those systems say Christians are not under the old covenant law, except for 10 engraved on stone. Now, for us, a proper understanding, the way the apostles thought, a proper understanding is necessary. So starting out, you must know that those 10 commandments were part of the old covenant, meaning they were the old covenant. And we see this in God telling Moses in Exodus 34, 27 through 28, to write down his words. God said, because in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And it says, Moses wrote on the tablets of stone the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So it was not words separate from the covenant. It was words of the covenant. In Deuteronomy 4:13, it's precise, saying God declared his covenant, which he commanded to be performed. That is the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Ark of the Covenant has its name because the Ten Commandments on stone were inside. The covenant was inside. So the practice of dividing the Ten Commandments engraved on stone away from the covenant is an error. But the same goes for all the other 603 or so commandments in the covenant. So what we need to do is rely on the biblical definition of the old covenant. The biblical definition, Exodus 19:5 and 24:7 shows it. God said there, obey my voice and keep my covenant. And then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it to the people, and they said, all that God has spoken, we will do. So all that God spoke as the law was all of it together. Leviticus 26:15 shows it, saying this, if you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments, all, and so break my covenant. See, over 600 statutes, ordinances, and commandments are in the covenant as the covenant, as the biblically defined unity of the old covenant Mosaic Law. All this is part of rightly understanding our passage, which is 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 21. So I'm going to read it now. Keep all that in mind as I read. Paul said, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the old covenant Mosaic law, as under the old covenant law. Though not being myself under the old covenant law, so that I might win those who are under the old covenant law. To those who are without old covenant law, as without old covenant law, though not being without the law of God. Very important terminology there. Because it's in operation in the new covenant. The law of God is. So what is it? But within, different Greek word, the other words were under. This one is within, or in-lawed, within the law of Christ. And this is the law of God of the new covenant that Christians are under. So I'm going to begin reading it again. So he says, but I'm within the law of Christ, which is the law of God, so that I might win those who are without law. That would be without both the old covenant or new covenant law of God. So prepare your heart for this sermon, the law of God in your covenant. Now the apostles taught that Christians are not in the passed away jurisdiction of the old covenant law of Moses. But Paul had a ministry strategy to keep from offending Jews in that transitioning generation that were called to migrate over from the old covenant to the new. Now, at the time, some were subjecting themselves to the words of that old covenant law, many of the people that even became saved. When he was around those people, what Paul would do is he would heed old law traditions as his strategy, that he is able to be unoffensive, though he's saying he was not under the actual law. And yet Paul shows how profound the absence of the old law's jurisdiction really is. The only way to get around Paul's clear meaning is by injecting invented theories into it. And one attempt is to chop the old covenant Mosaic law into three artificial distinctions: moral law, civil law, and ceremonial law. Well, this is a philosophy, and it was developed by Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century. But the Bible does not differentiate such categories in the Mosaic law. No Israelite record found anywhere has ever made such a division, and neither did Jesus or the apostles. Even Orthodox Jewish rabbis, experts in the ancient writings of Judaism, denied the old law can be consistently or successfully divided into moral, civil, and ceremonial categories. Now, you can see things like that there, but you can't divide it. Now, for you to be a real expert on this, just remember Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 4, that God says his old law is a unity of righteous statutes, ordinances, commandments, judgments, and covenant. All its righteous statutes and judgments are moral, whether people call them civil, ceremonial, or anything else, because moral has to do with right behavior. And the whole Old Covenant says, do certain things, and it says, do not do certain things. Obedience brought blessing. Disobedience brought punishment. And abiding by all of it has moral implications with any of it. Galatians 3:10 explains that all who rely on works of the Mosaic law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. So we see it's all things, not just some things, not just 10 commandments engraved on stone or the dietary things or whatever. James 2:10 seals the issue, saying that even if someone kept the whole Mosaic law, but stumbled in just one point, that person was guilty of all. Now, you can try to divide the law to seek to keep certain points, but any so-called category you come up with really represents all of it. And it's the way it was when Moses got the law on Mount Sinai. And it stayed that way when Jesus came 1,500 years later. And then here we have Jesus, and he is now in the Old Covenant, and he's teaching on this mount. And Luke 6:20 says Jesus was specifically teaching the disciples on this mount. He was teaching layers of subjects to them. Now, other Israelites are there. They're in the area. And the scripture says they came in close to listen to what Jesus was telling them. And Jesus told his disciples how to act while following him around to advance the mission of his messianic kingdom. This teaching is usually called the Sermon on the Mount. It goes for three long chapters. It's long. So he has this, he's teaching them, And being under the Mosaic law, they needed to reflect the righteous standards of that law. They're under it. But Jesus also taught a layer with bigger consequences. He said in Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, the Pharisees were the strictest law-keeping sect of the Jews. Many of the Pharisees followed Jesus. Now, some of them were bad, but not all of them. And so when it came to Mosaic law-keeping righteousness, it was very hard to beat a devout Pharisee. But the righteousness required to get into heaven had to surpass theirs. And if that was not a high enough standard, Jesus said something else that was absolutely jarring. He said in Matthew 5:48, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But how could anyone be as perfect as God? They're there. He's teaching them. Jesus even told them that to be angry with the brother was to be guilty like someone who commits murder. Even to call somebody a fool is to be guilty enough for the fiery hell. Even to lust after someone in your thoughts was to commit the sin of adultery, he said, in your heart. They didn't realize it, but Jesus was making a prophetic point. Prophetic, based on reality, pointing to the reality of the future. Nobody could attain righteousness exceeding the Pharisees. Nobody could be as perfect as God is perfect. Only Jesus has that kind of exceeding righteousness. Only Jesus is truly perfect as his Father is perfect. So Jesus was expressing mystery truth, which required him to fulfill. And we saw all through the Gospels that Jesus did this all the time. Mystery truth that he would teach that people just didn't understand. So the prophetic mystery revelation was that relevant righteousness and perfection was in this one teaching these people. And the availability of that same righteous perfection was coming for them through Jesus' future crucifixion and resurrection. It's the only way anyone attains the righteousness of God's perfection, the relevant righteousness of salvation. And so this is why Paul the Apostle, later in the New Covenant, said in Philippians 3:4-8, that he could have put confidence in his flesh since he was once a Pharisee in respect to the old law. And he said, as to law righteousness, he said he was found by others to be blameless. But he said that whatever things were gained to him under the old covenant law, he counted them as loss in view of the surpassing value of Christ. In fact, he said he counted them but dung, and that's really what it sounds like, to gain Christ. That concerning the surpassing value, he wanted to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God, the relevant righteousness imputed to him, it's what we all need, right? On the basis of faith alone. Now, all this is because the law could not take away sin. But also, 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the power of sin is the Mosaic law. This is amazing. So 2 Corinthians 5:21 had to happen, which says, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf on the cross, so that we would become the righteousness of God in him. They didn't quite understand it that day when he was teaching that sermon teaching on the Mount. But this is what had to happen. And Hebrews 10:14 testifies to the perfection part, saying that by the one offering of Christ Jesus, God has perfected for all time all those set apart in him. And you know what that means? They're as perfect as their Father is perfect. This is how God ordained for you to become this same perfection as your Father in heaven. God always knew that it would only be in Christ, not in the old law, that anyone can be perfect as the Father is perfect. Jesus knew it as he taught on that mount that day. So on that teaching day, the disciples saw in a mirror dimly concerning what Jesus spoke prophetically. But remember, Jesus also instructed them to manifest good works of the old covenant that they were under while they were ministering with Jesus. Jesus told them in 7:12, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, because this is the law and the prophets, he says to them. He's teaching from the law. And he's pointing to Leviticus 18:18 of the Old Covenant, because that's the covenant that they're under. So they got marching orders for following Jesus. And they also got the high standard of righteousness explained to them that must ultimately be attained. You have to get it. And Jesus gave him something else. He gave him details of God's plan to intercede for us through himself, through Christ, so that we would attain it. It's the plan of God's work to make people as perfect as himself. Jesus prophetically told them at Matthew 5, 17 through 18, that he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it in himself, in what he does, that not anything would pass from the law in his pre-cross ministry until all was accomplished by him. See, Jesus fulfilled the righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees for all who embrace him by grace through faith. And so the finished accomplishment in the fulfillment has come before heaven and earth has passed away, as is recorded in John 19, 29 through 30. While on the cross, taking his last breaths, we are told that Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, said, "It is finished." So the Old Covenant Mosaic Law had to remain until the final events of the New Covenant accomplishment were finished. Heaven and earth are still here, and the New Covenant is here. It had started at the same time that the Old was finished, and the New Covenant is here doing what the pre-cross Old Covenant Israelites could not do to fulfill what Jesus said was required in his teaching on the Mount. And those people that day finally got Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the Old Covenant Mosaic Law for righteousness to everyone who believes, because righteousness comes by faith. And when Christ said on the cross, "It's finished," the righteousness requirement was accomplished for you through faith in his works, not by your own works, but by his work. So think of it this way. The way of the New Covenant apostolic revelation. Remember, that's what we are. And what Jesus pointed forward to in the teaching on the Mount, Paul the Apostle pointed back to in Ephesians 2, 15 through 18, saying this, "In his flesh, Christ abolished the hostility of the law of commandments contained in ordinances." He abolished it because he did this before heaven and earth has passed away. And it says, "So that in himself he would establish peace, reconciling to God those he saves in his body through the cross." Isn't this beautiful? "By having put to death the enmity of the Mosaic law by the cross." It had enmity. "So now through him we have our access in one spirit to the Father." And Paul points back to it in Colossians 2, 13 through 15, also saying this, "That when we were dead in sin, God made us alive together with Christ Jesus, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, the Mosaic law, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And Paul points to our experience of it in Galatians 2, 19, saying this, "I died to the old covenant Mosaic law so that I would live to God." That's pretty amazing if you think about living under the old covenant law. An amazing statement. And Paul points to your experience of it, yours, mine, in Romans 7, 4 through 6, saying, "You were made to die to the old covenant Mosaic law through the body of Christ so that you would be joined to another, to him who is raised from the dead. Now, we have been released from the Mosaic law to serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter of that law." And this is why Paul explained in Galatians 3:19 that the law was added by God to his people, but only until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. And Paul said, Jesus Christ is that seed, and it was fulfilled when it was accomplished and finished for us, with the old going away and the new coming in. And this is why Paul explained in 2 Corinthians 3, 5 through 10, that God made us servants of a new covenant, not of the letter of the old covenant Mosaic law, but of the Spirit. Because the letter of the old covenant Mosaic law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And Paul says plainly, very eye-opening passage, "The commandments in letters engraved on stone was a ministry of death." And yes, that's what Paul said. the Ten Commandments is never a ministry of life, ever. And he said, when it came, though, it did come with glory. But he said, but now the ministry of the Spirit, which is the ministry of the new covenant in Christ, has more glory. And Paul said, the old covenant law was the ministry of what? Condemnation. And that even though it had glory, the ministry of righteousness, that's what we're in now. In the new covenant, the ministry of righteousness abounds much more in glory. And Paul said, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory of the new covenant that surpasses it. So despite theories trying to save part of the old law to guide your life, this has always been the new covenant apostolic revelation. And of course, they give us tons of teaching to guide our life, which is superior. And I'm going to get into that in more sermons in the coming weeks. But we got to look at Paul's first recorded sermon in Acts 13, 38 through 39. And he said that through the crucified and resurrected Jesus, through the resurrected Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him, everyone who believes, it's all about belief, it's all about faith, is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the old covenant law of Moses. All this is good news, which is what? Gospel. It's the good news of Romans 8, 2 through 4, which says this, the law of the Spirit, mark that in your minds. And by the way, this sermon's going to be online. You can go back and reread it. In fact, you can get others to listen to it that you know are like all immersed in the law stuff. It says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death, since what the Mosaic law could not do, that's the law of sin and death, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the old covenant law would be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see how it's fulfilled in you? Because the Spirit lives in you. This is salvation. And the weight of these facts is more pronounced when we recognize that to be of the works of the old covenant law is to be under a curse. Remember, Galatians 3, 10 through 13 says that as many as are of the works of the Mosaic law are under a curse. Because it's written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all. All things written in the book of the law to perform them. That no one is declared righteous by the Mosaic law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by, there it is again, it's faith. It's always faith. However, the Mosaic law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. It's by works. And the weight of this is seen in what Paul declares next. To sum it up, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the Mosaic law, having become a curse for you, for me. And this is the point. Salvation by faith, not works, is the blessing. Seeking to be declared righteous by works is the curse. And so you see the stark freedom contrast to the bondage here, right? You don't want to be in the curse of the old law. You want the blessing, which is that all is accomplished for you and in you where the Spirit dwells. So when Hebrews 7 says the old covenant Mosaic law made nothing perfect, remember Jesus' teaching, you must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So a better hope was brought in through which we draw near to God. Notice the words that the Bible uses, better, better. Because Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant that God appointed a son made perfect, perfect forever. See, always trust that truth there as the fulfillment for you. All of that right there. And be thankful that Jesus, who has all been as perfect as his heavenly Father is perfect, he's always been this, has imputed that perfection to you. And then as Hebrews goes on in chapter 8, you can read this in 7 and 8. Like I say, you can go back and reference this. This is seminar-type sermon today. So it's a lot of data, but it's good. It tells you that Jesus' ministry is more excellent than that of the old covenant, and that he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. And yeah, God makes covenants, and then he'll make a better one later. He says it. So be thankful and act like it is better. And then it goes on and it says that the first covenant had fault. So God actually has covenants that he puts a fault in it on purpose. And this is why Jeremiah prophesied, the Lord will put his law into our minds and write it in our hearts in the new covenant. The writer of Hebrews says this, that I'm going through, and recognize that it's the law of Christ of the new covenant that he's talking about. He's not going back and putting the old covenant law into your heart and on your mind. It's the law of Christ of the new covenant, the law of Christ that Paul mentions in our 1 Corinthians passage that I read, remember? And it's also in Galatians 6, 2. Both are called the law of Christ. And when it says this, I will be merciful, I'm still working through this Hebrews 7 and 8, I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will not bring to mind their sins anymore. Trust that you are secure and be grateful that he makes sure you are. And then when Hebrews wraps it up in chapter 8 saying this, when God said a new covenant, it means he made the first obsolete. God did this. And so know that without a doubt, the old law as a jurisdictional force really is obsolete and it really is gone forever. And know that the new covenant really goes on forever as what Hebrews 13:20 calls by name the everlasting covenant. It goes on forever. So I urge you to embrace the fact that you are not under the old covenant law given to Moses at Mount Sinai. You are under the new covenant inaugurated on Mount Golgotha. And when you read Jesus' sermon on another mount, know that he pointed to the redemptive fulfillment in himself. And since the righteousness and the perfection demands were fulfilled by the righteously perfect demander, trust that it has been fulfilled for you. And it was a sacrifice that did this. Trust that when Jesus said, it is finished, it really is. And it really does apply to you. And thank him that the new covenant began in those same moments of the finish of the old, established in his blood. Thank him that this enmity that the apostles talk about of the old law was put to death, and that the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you has been canceled. Since you have been released from the Mosaic law, and now you serve in newness of the spirit, not in oldness of the letter, continue to do so by seeking the new. Don't mix in the old law with life and godliness. You are 1 Corinthians 9:20-21. Manifest the life of Christ accordingly, not being yourself under the old covenant law, because you do exist being without it, but yet you are not without the law of God of the new covenant. No, you are not without that law, but you're within the law of Christ, which is the law of God of this covenant that you're in. And finally, trust that the new covenant scriptures that we study so hard are ordained by God to teach you what you need to know about what sin is and what you need to do, which I'm going to preach more and more about in the next weeks, still focusing on what the apostles tell us about the law and our own understanding of sin and how to live a godly life. Amen.